Welcome to the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast for women of faith in business looking to take their careers or businesses to the next level without compromising their faith. If you're ready to begin taking action on your entrepreneurship goals, learn tips, tools, and strategies to execute consistently and manifest the life of your dreams, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Halima de Oliveira, business strategist, three-time author, using the fusion of faith and finances to lead female-led e-commerce brands to six and seven-figure revenue targets annually. Ready? Let's work. Tune into today's episode, Already in Progress. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast. I have a familiar face, a familiar guest, and you guys will get to chat with her in a minute, but I'm going to tee up this episode, inshallah. So this episode is episode 72, Get Your Whole Life with Amina Muhammad Diggins. She has been a guest before, as I said, on the podcast, and she's coming back to help us to get our whole life together. As Boss Hijabis moving through business and life, it can be hard to find the time to learn and do everything. The best way to do it all is to have people for that.
I love so that. Listen, I'm gonna steal that.
Take it away. Today's guest will be sharing tips on how we can ensure we protect all our assets, okay? So please, Amina, welcome again. You know I love having you. And the last time you were on, they were like, can you guys do this more often? So here
we should make it a thing, right? A quarterly Halima and Amina get together.
Exactly. Here she is. So Amina, please tell us, what have you been up to since the last time you were on, inshallah? And then how can you help us get our whole lives together, inshallah?
Awesome. Assalamu alaikum. I'm happy to be back. I'm excited to be back with you, Halima. I'm wondering why I'm getting some feedback. So I'm not sure if I'm in the chat or something happened. But so since we were together last, I am now a licensed life insurance producer, helping people to get their entire lives, their whole lives together. And I'm licensed in the states of Pennsylvania and in New Jersey. And I help people to, previously I had the party rental business. So I had that for about 14 years, which I sold early 2021. And then I realized that it was time to let it go. So I went ahead and sold that company, and now I'm a licensed life insurance producer. So I was with people in the happiest times of their lives, and now I'm helping them prepare for their final moment on their earth, making sure that their lives are not spent here in vain, that they have a legacy to leave to their families. And we're not begging people, not doing GoFundMe pages or any of that when it comes to final expense coverage. So I'm hoping that you see me. I can't personally see you anymore, but
listen, you were on there all by yourself because I wanted them to get those gems just from you, honey. Okay. You were just, I had you there, but I'm all always right. Here with you, mashallah.
Awesome.
So I love that you talk about that. And I originally wanted to have you on together after a sister Tahira Talib Deen. So she has a janazah service. I totally think that the two of you should connect because literally you're having the same conversation, but you specifically deal with, you know, the actual steps on how they can get their whole life together with, like you said, the life insurance, right? Mm-hmm. And I love that you said life insurance producer. I love that that's the wording that you use. Definitely could see the two of you connecting. So anyone that's either watching now or may listen to this episode later, also go check out Tahira's episode, and these two episodes together, definitely you need to be listening to both of them because they will both help you inshallah. So so now, as soon as we say, especially in the Muslim community, so I know you deal with both Muslims and non-Muslims in the work that you're doing. Yeah. Do you get Muslims, in your work? Like, you know, do you attract, you know, the Muslim population?
I would say about 10%, 20% of my the people who reach out to me. I don't want to say my business. The people who reach out to me 100% are Muslim. You know, 95%, either they, you know, Facebook, Instagram, or something like that. The rest of my clientele are non-Muslim. So I'm extremely grateful to be in a position to help our Muslim community, because a lot of times people have this idea that the masjid is going to pay for their janazah. So I've spoken to many masajids about how they are grateful that this is a service that I'm able to provide, because they get people who say, oh, I thought my masjid was going to pay for my janazah. No, the masjid is raising money for the light bill and for the heater and for the new paved way for the driveway and all that. They're not, that's not on them to pay for your janazah, right? So we know that we're supposed to tie our own camel. We know that we're supposed to take care of our wealth before poverty. We're supposed to take care of our health before old age. So we know that it is upon us to make sure that we have those provisions in place, so that way it's not a burden. We know that we are supposed to be the caretakers of the earth. We're not supposed to be the burden of the earth or the burden of mankind. So the more we are of service to others, the more Allah, inshallah, will bless us. So my goal is to make sure that there's a legacy, when people leave a legacy for their families, that their families are not doing GoFundMe pages, that our families are not gathering $50, $100, and then, you know, we don't have all the money, so we have to have to be cremated because it's cheaper. We're not able to, you know, when we don't have the funds, we can't be buried in the beautiful plot with other Muslims, being surrounded by other Muslims, because that's, you know, when you have the funds, you can do that, you know, as opposed to being buried out someplace in the middle of nowhere. So having a plan in place ensures that when we die, not if, there's no if, we know that all of us will meet, will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we want to make sure that we have those provisions in place when that happens and our family is not left holding the bag, or the community is not left holding the bag.
You know what? I love this talk track, right? So, you know, I had no idea that people thought that the masjid was going to pay, subhanAllah, you know, the masjid paying for your janazah, like subhanAllah, you know, I mean, they're there for the community. They're there for us, but to pay for your janazah, that's on you. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, when you go to Hajj, you know, one of the prerequisites is for you to make sure all of your things are in order. Yes. You know, Allah forbid you pass away, you know, in the, you know, while in the course of making Hajj or upon returning, all of your ducks are in a row. So I love that you said planning, and tie your camel is actually my inspirational quote of the week. So as always, great minds, we are together. Okay. If you didn't know. So, you know, in talking about the planning, how can you help, you know, a fellow Muslim, or, you know, someone who is of another faith tradition, how can you help them to plan their end of life, so to speak? So to make sure, like you said, leaving a legacy, and I don't want to spend so much time on end of life, because there are other services that you offer as well. You have like mortgage insurance. There's like other things that are there as well. So if you can talk a little bit more about how the planning is important, and also how we can protect the assets that we have while we're alive.
Yeah. So one of the things, it's all kind of bundled together with, because it pays out to your beneficiary when we die. So a lot of times it is important to take out policies when we're younger. We know that a lot of times people don't start thinking about planning for end of life until they're 50, 60, 70. And at that time, the premiums may be too expensive, or maybe you can't get the amount of coverage that you wanted to get if you were younger and healthier. So we know that we're supposed to take out coverages when we're young and healthy. So that way we're not denied insurance, that we can get the amount of coverage that we want to get for our families. That's going to definitely pay out to our family, to make sure that we can pay off mortgages if there's anything left. You know, making sure that we can pay for children's education or leave an inheritance to our grandchildren, whatever it is that you have in mind that you want to definitely take care of. Those are the things we need to start thinking about ahead of time, and making sure that we make those provisions not as an afterthought, but put it in your life plan. Like, these are the things that I have in place. I have my cell phone insured. I have my car insured. People do these, but we're not thinking about making sure that we have our lives insured, so that it's definitely going to be, everything and our family is going to be taken care of.
That's perfect, because it's like you said, your cell phone is insured, all of these things are insured, but the person who pays the bill, the person who is responsible for all of these things is not insured.
And statistically, it takes about 3 to 5 years for a family to recuperate after the loss of the primary breadwinner. And sometimes they never can recuperate. So if you're thinking about all these wonderful things that you do for your family, you're going on vacations and, they're in private Islamic school and all these things. And if that income is taken away, what will become of your children? And we know that it takes, 5 years usually for a family to recuperate. And sometimes we're never able to recuperate because of the loss of the primary breadwinner.
SubhanAllah, I didn't even know that was a statistic. And if you're not already following Amina Muhammad Diggins, check out her Instagram page because she shares a lot of different statistics. It was like a statistic there was like 53% of people are like not insured or something like that.
Americans are not, don't have any life insurance. And it's not just brown folks. So get that out. I want to make sure everybody understands. This is entire population. And when we're running the numbers, Black and brown people have a higher percentage of having life insurance, because a lot of times we look at that as the only way to, increase our financial stature. So, when we're thinking about things, a lot of times we like to think, oh, it's because Black people. No, we have insurance. It's the total population of America.
I love that clarification. Yeah. I'm right there. Like we do have it together.
Have insurance. Yes.
You mentioned a little bit earlier, premiums may go up and all that kind of stuff the later that you start thinking about life insurance. Is there a best age to start a life insurance policy? And is there a cutoff?
Yeah. So I recommend people. So most people take out policies when they're thinking about, I recommend people to start thinking about taking out a policy as early as possible. Definitely when you start to have responsibilities. So a lot of times we'll have a policy where your parents will pay for your policy up to the age of 21 or 25 or something like that. And then you can take over the policy and make the premiums, increase coverage. But it's always a good idea to start thinking about a larger whole life policy in your 30s. Because when you start to try to think about larger whole life policies in your 40s, it's more expensive. You may not qualify because now you have high blood pressure, diabetes. You got a lot of stuff going on. So if you're thinking about this is what I want to do, start thinking about that in your 30s as far as larger policies. Of course, 40s, you can still take out a nice sizable policy, especially if you're still healthy. And the cutoff is usually age 80. So most life insurance companies don't take out the policies past age 80.
Makes sense. The time, right? Mm-hmm. So question. So you talked about larger policies. I remember the first policy I ever took out was $10,000. I remember that like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. State Farm Insurance. Seriously. I remember it. Because that was the first time that I had, the idea. I was 21. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, in the same thing, my son, we talked about, these conversations. So when you talk about larger policies, what do you consider a larger policy? And do you think that, one type of person would take out a larger policy or, over another? What would you recommend? If you could just give us an example, does a family of five take out $1 million policy? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? What does that look like?
So when we're thinking about it's really tailored to a particular person, because everybody has what they think is a lot of money. Like one person may think a lot of money is $500. Another person may say, it's 500 million. So it depends on what your life dictates. So you have to, everything is from an individualized approach. So I sit down with people and we go over what your responsibilities are. I mostly sell whole life policies. So my policies are usually that I sell between 50, 70, maybe $200,000. I don't do a lot of term policies. That's when people do like, I want $1 million policy, you know, for 5 years or something crazy. You're not to say that that doesn't provide an umbrella, but what I mostly write policies for are life insurance policies that are definitely going to pay out, because 2-3% of term policies pay out, as opposed to the majority of whole life policies, because as long as your premiums are paid, your policy will pay out, as opposed to term life. There's an ending on it. Some, you know, you have a 5, 10, or 20 year term. And if it doesn't pay out, it doesn't pay out.
Meaning and that I just wanted to die, you don't die. Yeah. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because that may be of a concern for a Muslim person.
Yeah.
Right. So a Muslim person, most don't go into life insurance because they think, oh, you know, it's haram, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I know that I wanted to ask you that question. Is it haram or is it halal? And the whole life are the halal mm-hmm. policies, alhamdulillah. Yeah. So they're the ones, like you said, definitely going to pay yeah. out. It's a sure thing. Whereas the term life could be a gamble. It's still, you can still look at a term life you know, policy depending mm-hmm. on like your age. So like if you're younger, okay, that's, you're definitely going to be all right. You yes. know what I mean? The older you get, you might want to go over.
You might want to go ahead and get a whole life policy. Like anybody it. Over 40, like if you remember Run DMC, you had an 8-ball jacket. You know, if you know, if you remember when the 49, you know, 49er jackets. So you know, so you want to make sure, if you remember all of that Michael Jackson Bad album, you need to go ahead and get yourself a light whole life policy, if even if you know you should have got one, you know, previously. But I like to joke with people, but it's, you know, it takes the edge off because it is something that no one likes to talk about. Like even when I talk to my customers, they're like, call me for a will, and they're like, oh, I don't want to think about it. I'm like, what? Think about it now. That way your family is not tearing up your house trying to find $1,000.
I'm going to tell you what prompted me to talk to Tahira. So first of all, Tahira was in a class of mine. So that, you know, I knew what she was talking about. But right at the time when I spoke to Tahira and I had you, I wanted to have you on, my uncle passed away. Mm-hmm. And that tearing the house apart, that was us. We were literally, we had to look for everything. We had his services,
yeah.
But I'm going to be totally honest with you. We don't know if that's what 100% if that's what he wanted. Yeah. It was literally like my siblings, you know, I was the caretaker for all medical. I mm-hmm. was the bad person with all of the pill boxes. Yeah. Every time there was a doctor appointment, that was my job. Mm-hmm. Then there was a sibling that, you know, the two of them were close to him. They went out with him, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It was like the three of us. Okay, what do we think he wanted? And my, you know, of course, my mother, right? Who's his sister? Mm-hmm. You don't want that. And policy, we found a policy that was from like 1970 something of mm-hmm. his. Wow. Now we ended up having to pay for you know, the funeral expenses. Like mm-hmm. I put the money out for the funeral expenses. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have the money, or you know, I don't know how, you know, we would have gotten through that, because a policy, to go through the policy, we have to go and find company. The company has since changed names. Yes, yeah. The policy's paid up and everything. We have all the paperwork, but who owns it now? Mm-hmm. You know, gotcha. Like literally, he was a veteran. So mm-hmm. he gets some money there, but that's a process. Yep. We spoke to, you know, the VA hospital where, you know, where he passed away. And mm-hmm. they were like, the process could take you 6 months or
six
more.
Months. Yep.
So if someone was wanting to, you know, bury their loved one, Muslims, yep. it's within 72 hours, mm-hmm. you know, in the ground. You know, my uncle was not Muslim. Mm-hmm. So, you know, essentially we have, you know, a little more time. Mm-hmm. But even still, who wants their loved one sitting somewhere?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and not at rest. So yep. that's, I promise you, that's why I wanted to have you on, because yeah. I wanted us to really think about, you know, the end of life and really think about, okay, what are we doing, and being intentional, you know, yeah. inshallah. And also talking about that legacy, you know, for him, what did he want to leave for his, you know, I'm his nieces and nephews. He always took care of us. He was always amazing to us. But what would he have wanted to have left us? What would he have wanted to left his children, his grandchildren? We don't know any of those things, because there was nothing in place. Mm. And he was young, so it's not like he was older. He was 72. Yeah. So still young for still my young. Family. Mm-hmm. Everybody lives to be 100 or more, okay?
Yes.
One of the aunts was 116, okay?
Goodness gracious.
Listen, you know, it was not something that we were thinking about because, mm-hmm. you know, of the longevity of the family, but mm-hmm. it is something we should be thinking about, and especially as Muslims. So mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, you know, we talk about legacy. You've got your AKA shirt on. I wanted to talk about that. And I wanted to talk about that in correlation to, even what we're talking about, even life insurance, just talking about legacy and the things that you want to check off. Mm-hmm. That was a thing that you wanted to check off. So can we talk about that?
You know how you have, so in my mind, like when I was in college, I had attended, you know, several, you know, open houses for the sorority. And I decided that it just wasn't my time at the time. So I kind of left it kept in the back of my head. I did join a Muslim sorority, but that is now, resolved, Gamma Gamma Chi, which I love to my heart, all of my Gamma sorors. But I always wanted to be a woman of Alpha Kappa Alpha. And serving all of mankind had always been on my heart. Like, you know, as a Muslim woman, serving all of mankind, like who doesn't want to do that? So, and also higher morals and being able to serve with a smile, you know, like all the things that kind of resonate with me as a Muslim woman. But as you get older, I'm like 40 something years old. And I thought that, you know, that was my time has passed. But I got a call and said, would you be interested? You know, so it's one of those things that you always, when you have things on your heart, never let them die. You know, you make dua on things and you continue to live within your purpose, and Allah will open up ways for you for your dreams to come into effect, into being. So that's how I look at that, and everything within my life, I look at as, okay, I've made dua on it. Allah answers dua always, right? You know, whether we see it now or see it later, or it's kept from us because he wants the best for us. So I always looked at it as, okay, I have this here, and if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, you know? A funny story, I had went to St. Croix right before our process, and I pulled up out to dinner, and I'm on an island, and I pull up to dinner, and right in front of me is a Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated license plate, and I was like, okay, you know, all right, you know, so this is another sign. I looked at it as another sign, like everything's going to be all right, you know, so, but again, it's been a real blessing for me. I'm excited about being a lady of Alpha Kappa Alpha. And, you know, I'm just, you know, one of those things, being embraced of a sisterhood since 1908, over 300,000 sorority members. It's just a beautiful thing.
Sorry, I'm so happy for you. When you texted it to me, I was like, yeah. You know why? Because it's like you said, it's never too late. It's mm-hmm. never too late, and never give up on a dream of yours, and Allah will manifest it for you. I want to talk a little bit, and tying it back to life insurance, right? Is that you can borrow against some of these policies too. Yep. So that's a way to manifest some of the things that you want in your life too. If you want to take a trip, if you want to, something that you want to do. So can you talk a little bit about that? Is there a certain time where you're able to borrow against, or a certain amount? How does that work?
Yep. So as you accrue money into your policy, so you pay monthly, it's a monthly premium. We don't want to tell people to take all your money out, because if you take all the money out, nothing for your descendants. So you want to, you know, if you get into a bind, you can borrow against your policy. If you have a larger policy and it's paid up, you know, and you say, you know what, I have some money accrued, I can go ahead and borrow, take money out. You know, if you want to, that is something that you can do. That's only for whole life policies, that you can borrow against them, and because they build up cash value. Term policies don't offer that option. Also, the great thing about whole life policies is that when they pay out to our descendants or our beneficiaries, they're not taxable. You know, so we know that, you know, the government's not going to come in and need a piece of that action, as opposed to we have money in the bank and we leave to people. That is taxable income. So we want to make sure that, you know, this is how, you know, the wealthy protect their assets in a way, is by having it in policies or in ways that are not taxable.
Dope. And I love how you said the rich, right? So the rich and the wealthy, they know how to keep their money, and they know how to, you know, when they leave it to the next generation, they teach them in turn how to keep that money. So I love that you said Uncle Sam can't, tap into it, when it's in policies and all that kind of stuff, mashallah. Yeah. Is mortgage protection your area, your expertise?
So not necessarily. We do offer mortgage protection in the form of life insurance. So safe. What that is is that if you have a mortgage, like, so say for instance, a person that has $100,000 left on their mortgage, and they know that if when they die, that house will be, you know, no one's going to be able to afford that mortgage. So it's built into our policy that it's part of the, it'll pay out the balance of the mortgage if there's a balance left. That is one of the things that we do offer. Yep.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Mashallah. I read that and I was like, I'm going to ask, about that, how it can be of benefit. So you talked a little bit about Tyer Campbell. That's going to be my ayat of the week, right? But is there an ayat that's governing your life right now that, like, you're sticking close to it because it's helping you through this particular season in your life, inshallah?
I would say it was, right now is a particular hadith, the 5 before 5. I recently joined CrossFit, and, you know, just making sure that I take care of my health. You know, I went to the doctor, a month ago, and I got my blood work done. And she had been telling me to get my blood work done for 2 years. So when COVID happened, I was like, So I finally went, and she said, I'm like borderline diabetic. And I was like, okay. This is not something that I want to happen. My grandmother, she passed diabetes complications. And I said, you know what? I got to make sure that I take care of my health, because as a Muslim woman, I want to make sure that I take care of my 5 before 5. I take care of my riches before poverty. You take care of your health before, you know, illness. You know, so those are the things that for me that's governing that right now. So I want to make sure that my body is fit, my mind is fit. That I'm using my time wisely. You know, I deleted Facebook and Instagram off my phone until Friday, that I can go in and check and who messaged me and all that, because I want to make sure that I'm using my time wisely. So if I were to say something that's governing me right now, it would definitely be the 5 before 5 hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? I love it. You know, 5 before 5 is one of the, things that we talk about in the book that we have together, yes, which is Pray and Grow Rich, mashallah. So we talk about that, in that book. And I wholeheartedly, agree. You know, we're getting to an age where, you know, we're both, you know, up there. Mm-hmm. You know what, yes, I mean? You know, we're right in that middle, you know, right, inshallah, right in the middle. And, you know, I'm in agreement with you, you know, and, you know, you're inspiring me to, you know, do that too, you know, inshallah. I remember, you know, some years ago, probably like 7 or 8 years ago, I had a similar situation. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you either change what you're eating or you're going to be over here, right?
Exactly. And, you know, and she said, you know, you can't eat the way I said, well, she said,
not even a little bit.
My cholesterol was a little high. She said, I said, what about lamb? She said, no. my doctor's Indian. And she said, you know, we cannot eat lamb. No more lamb for you. And I said, okay.
Really? Listen, girl, I want a piece of lamb right now.
I'm going to have my lamb in the morning with steak and some eggs. So I had to really change pretty much everything. So I'm juicing vegetables now. At 6 a.m., I'm at the gym every single morning with a trainer. I'm on my Peloton 2 days a week. Right, well, I try to do it 4 days a week right after. Like, I come home from the gym. Then my adrenaline's pumped up. I try to do like a 20-minute class. Because I you know how I want to ease into, you know, my older years, still looking, you know, cute, you know.
That's right. Listen, healthy, still looking fabulous, okay? I mean, listen, let's hit it, sis. You know what? I'm going to start texting you like, hello, you on that Peloton? What did you eat today?
Did you get any lamb today, Mina? So I've been really good. I said I'm gonna once a month I'll have, because I really love Starbucks vanilla iced coffees. Once a month I'm gonna give myself that. But other than that, I've been really, really about it, because I realized that I want to stay healthy. I want to, you know, still be able to, you know.
There's more you want to do. I got it. Exactly.
I want to be able to climb mountains and stuff like that. I want to go hiking.
I love that. I love that so much. Listen, I'll meet you on a trail somewhere.
Yes, let's go. We'll meet halfway.
I'll come from the top. You come from
wave halfway up the hill.
So does spread a lot. So question, what tips do you have for Bossy Jabbies out there that are considering a career in the insurance industry?
Gotcha. I would say, so I'm currently hiring agents. So you would first have to pass the state exam, but we help with all of that. It's one of the probably, when we're thinking about careers that, because previously I had the bounce house business and a lot of my customers were really affluent. And I always knew that in the financial services, you know, it was something being able to be of service to people, but was also, you know, pretty lucrative. So if you're thinking about a career in insurance or life insurance, you can always reach out to me if that's something that you're looking to do. You want to make sure that you have a deep desire to care for people and care about families, because it's not just about writing policies. You want to make sure that this is the most important thing. When everything hits the fan, you're the first thing that people want to think about. So you always want to have that in the forefront of your mind, that you are servicing mankind, you're servicing people. I work from home. I'm not in the field. That was one of the things that I was not going to do. I'm not going inside of people's houses. So all of my policies are written virtually. Both the New Jersey governor and the PA governor signed into law during COVID that life insurance policies can be written via FaceTime or Zoom. So that's a wonderful thing, especially if you're a stay-at-home mom. It's a great transition of getting back into the workforce. So I absolutely love it. Of course, with every profession, you know, it's not for everybody. So you have to be diligent. You have to be making sure that you care about people. I think that's the main thing, is that you have to really care about people and being able to relate to all types of folks. You know, I wrote a policy for a guy. He was sitting, he was in a pickup truck in the woods hunting. And he said, I'm going to have to take care of this now, because he had recently lost his brother. But, you know, just being able to relate to all types of people.
I love that. And I love that you said that you have to care about people, because I come from a sales background. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you've got a number, you've got a quota to get to. And, you know, one of the things that always bothered me about that is that, you know, sometimes what we had available was not the best thing for the person, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And so to care about someone is to sometimes say, okay, we do have this product, but something else may be the better thing for you. And remembering that what Allah has for you is for you. It will not go, you know, to anyone else. That's and you true. Will get, the money's going to come. So the when you care about people, the money is going to come. So I love that you said that, you know, Amina, mashallah. So I want to thank you for being on. I do want you to tell us if they're interested in learning more about, you know, a whole life policy, how they can connect with you. And also for those, you know, agents out there. So potential agents, people, you know, women that want to, you know, get back into the workforce, how can they connect with you, inshallah?
Yep. So you can always reach me. Usually through either from my Instagram is Amina_Diggins, AMEENAH_Diggins, or my website. You can reach out and put in a query, which is Whole Life with Amina. Amina is spelled again, AMEENAH, wholelifewithamina.com, and reach out to me that way. You can either say I'm looking for a policy. There's a form you can fill out right on the website. And you can always reach out to me that way as well.
Love it, mashallah. Make sure you do that now. So if you're watching this live, go and do that now. If you're listening to this or watching it later, make sure you go and head and check out Amina and all that she has going on. I bring people here that are going to help you. Okay, yes. I know they're going to help you. So make sure you connect with Amina, inshallah. So jazakallah khair again, Amina. May Allah grant you tawfiq, as always, in all of your endeavors. And inshallah, we got to do a something.
I'm vaccinated and boosted. I'm prayed up. Let's go to lunch.
Inshallah, we gotta connect. Seriously, inshallah, I need me and Amina hug. Okay.
Yes, we gotta get a hug. You know, we gotta get our little non-alcoholic something drinks going on so we can have little, you know, just like pretty food and a pretty ambiance. You know, put our heels inshallah on.
We got to do it for real, in real life, inshallah. So again, jazakallah khair. I appreciate you so much. And I pray all of you connect. I'm just giving you that advice right now. So my inspirational quote of the week comes in the form of a well-known hadith that outlines the story of a Bedouin man who was leaving his camel without tying it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Why don't you tie down your camel?" The Bedouin answered, "I put my trust in Allah." The Prophet then replied, "Tie your camel first and then put your trust in Allah." So again, jazakallah khair, Sister Amina, for being here. And thank you for listening. Be sure to come back and tune in for episode 73. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, creating multiple streams of income. That one's going to be good, inshallah.
That'll be awesome.
I'll talk to you all soon. Peace. As-salam. This has been another spectacular episode of Boss Hijabipreneur, brought to you by BUNHD LLC and the Not Without My Hijab stage play. To find out more about services for women of faith in business and the next city up on the tour, visit www.BUNHD.com. It is our hope here at BUNHD that after each episode, you will be empowered to have a deeper connection in your spirituality, personal, and business relationships. As women of faith, we have a responsibility to learn our religion, apply it to our daily lives, and to make a positive contribution in our local and global communities.